Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Where does Topic go next year and beyond? Ryan Schenectady, general manager of this mega content venture, joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Could 2022 be the year personalized commercials and content hit your TV in a big way? That's one of the forecasts from tech firm Wide Orbit. We'll explore in our second half hour with Chief Product Officer Will Upman. Hour two begins with Rebecca Kitana, the host and producer of Healing Through the Home, a special running through Roku and other smart TV avenues. And for a wind-up, how about a preview of The Cleaning Lady, Fox's first new scripted series of 2022, the executive producer Miranda Kwok and showrunner Melissa Carter. Also ahead, down goes the New Year's Eve TV celebration, CES exhibitor pullouts, our classic trivia question, and helping a hero Monday night. Our show to know. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Bubble, Reason, Amazon Music, and Apple Podcasts. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Great to have you with us on this Christmas week 2021 midweek for a special two-hour fest of the program all about TV's current and future. Stay right where you are. Tell your friends to tune in because we got a great 120 minutes for you starting now. And we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. If you want to contact any of our guests, do so with a phone call at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere. You're calling us live or here around the world on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio. Got the chat room going. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the promo is on the air, you can be with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions and other people be live with you. 47 degrees at the top of the hour, and Ryan Schenectady from Topic joins me here from Dayton, Ohio, after these news notes. The fast-spreading Omicron variant has provided Fox to cancel its Toast and Roast New Year's Eve special. Ken Jeong and Joel McHale were scheduled to host Fox's special, originating live here in New York. In a statement, Fox officials acknowledged that despite confidence in health and safety protocols, the surge in Omicron cases, while nowhere near deadly as previous coronavirus mutations, made it impossible to do a live Times Square special. At this hour, Fox has not confirmed alternate New Year's Eve programming, and other network live specials on December 31st are going forward. Separately, all systems remain go for the return of CES's in-person Las Vegas affair the first full week of 2022. However, Amazon and Meta, that's the company formerly Facebook, and NVIDIA are in a group of companies opting out as exhibitors this morning. More than 2,000 exhibitors are expected to showcase their wares in person at the annual Consumer Technology Spectacle. Bundle business earlier today, channel aggregator Citadyne has launched a 9-channel package on LG smart TV sets. The collection includes Dove Channel, El Rey Network, My Time Movie Network, and The Country Network. Earlier, CuriosityStream started a 6-channel smart tier, that's smart tier in quotations, featuring Tastemade, Some TV, One Day University, Nebula, and Topic, the focus of our next segment. We'll have more news notes for you, quickie style, at the top of the next hour. And now joining us live from Dayton, Ohio, where he is spending the holidays in an intermediate exclusive, the general manager of the mega content service, Topic, Ryan Schenectady. Ryan, happy holidays. And Ryan, are you there? All right, Ryan, we're having a little bit of an issue getting you on, so call right back, 646-652-2906. It's 646-652-2906. And as I see you, you're ready to go, we'll get you back on the line. Meanwhile, we want to let you know that tomorrow on our program, our third of three episodes that we are doing this week, we will have our takeaway of the week, and we'll also maybe have a special commentary or two. And we are trying to get a guest, by the way, from one of the news notes we talked about earlier this week, and that is UKW Media, which earlier launched two, not one, but two, urban-oriented programming services. So we hope to have one or two of the key executives behind that venture on our show tomorrow. Now joining us live from Dayton, Ohio, again, an integrated exclusive, the head of Topic, Ryan Schenectady. Ryan, happy holidays to you.
Hey, same to you. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. You're coming through loud and clear. Ryan, what was your big accomplishment, your service's big accomplishment this year that you're carrying forward into next year?
Oh, well, I think this year we are really excited to have launched a number of premiere and exclusive series, including having brought the original The Killing over to the U.S. and Canada for the first time. during our Summer of Suspense program. So I think that was certainly a highlight, as we really feel like we've established ourselves as one of the best places to go for foreign and international elevated crime, thriller, suspense, mystery. So if you love those types of series, investigations, you know, anything like that, we're an excellent service to consider.
Mm-hmm. And do you see 2022 going the same way in terms of bringing originals from around the world, or do you think we will see more in terms of American-made programming?
No, I think we're pretty committed to bringing you stories from all over the place that, you know, you don't have as much of an opportunity to see here. That's not to say that we won't have things from the U.S. and Canada in particular. But next year we've got big season twos of a couple of our hit shows from the last 2 years, including Arctic Circle, and some shows from the U.K. we're really excited about. So we think we have a really interesting mix shaping up that will be a cross between UK, Europe, and then bringing you some series from other countries, Korea, et cetera. So we're excited.
Mm-hmm. What's it been like this year to put Tropic on amid this incredible blitz of mega content services? Not only the first generation, which I consider you with, along with Topic, and obviously Topic with Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, et cetera, but also all the Plus services from BET Plus to Apple TV Plus and now Discovery Plus, as well as Paramount Plus.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a challenging industry to be in, and I think that the better you can define yourself and the more specific you can be with your niche, the easier it is to have subscribers understand what you're offering them. That's how we feel like we're able to kind of carve off this small space in the world and still be able to have interest from those who have Netflix, have HBO, of course, have Amazon. But we bring you a bunch more series that you love. So you're going to watch Dark. You're going to watch Lupin. You're going to watch some of the other amazing international series on Netflix. But we have shows from the rest of those producers that, you know, haven't had a chance to be seen here. So the way that we find that we can compete is very specifically find that audience, make sure that every week, every month, we're bringing them more of what we know and hope they will love, and just starting to, like, prove ourselves to be an indispensable part of that entertainment, selection. But it's tough. There's a ton of money, right, both marketing and programming spend, immense billions of dollars that we're trying to kind of shout out against. So it's quite an adventure.
You're hearing Ryan Schenectady. He is the general manager of Topic, the fast-rising and fast-growing mega-content service they have on smart TV sets and smart devices all over the place. And if you didn't hear a moment ago, they just got a brand-new bundle put together by the folks at CuriosityStream that is also running on smart TV sets and smart devices. So there's more ways now you can get the service either separately or part of CuriosityStream's new smart tier or smart bundle. Ryan joins us live from Dayton, Ohio, where he's spending the holiday season. He's with us live this half hour on Smart TV Televised. We're just getting started with our special Christmas week 2021 midweek edition of the Promobot TV's Current and Future. If you have a question or comment for Ryan, make the phone call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. As mentioned before, we'll have another final part of our triple header coming your way tomorrow afternoon at this very hour. And then we'll be back with our final episodes of 2021 on Monday and Friday. On December 27th, we'll have our annual feature, Tomorrow Be Televised Remembers, where we showcase and celebrate the people in front of and behind the TV camera who passed away over the last 12 months. And on December 31st, one of my guests will be the executive director of the New York City Media Lab. We haven't talked to him in a very long time, former MTV executive and entrepreneur Stephen Rosenbaum. And we'll also get some first thoughts on what TV 2022 will bring. It's all coming up next week, Monday and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Of all the countries that are represented in the movies and TV series that you present to viewers, is there a particular country that gets a lot more attention from the audience?
Oh, interesting. Well, I think the Nordics, of course, are always strong contenders. So we see great success with programming, particularly from Denmark. I think that's been a highlight for us. Germany, I would say also up there. We had a great series we launched earlier this year, True Crime, called Dark Woods, which has done fantastically. And, you know, an emerging area we're really interested in this year and next is sort of the premium elevated drama coming out of Russia. So we launched a series called Dead Mountain a couple months ago, again, a true crime story of an expedition there. And we have several more titles coming. So, you know, we love that variety, and I don't know if there's one standout, but certainly those three have helped us make waves this year.
As you know, Ryan, Squid Game has become the cause celeb of the second half of this year through Netflix. They just got nominated for a Golden Globe Award, along with Lupin from France, for Best Dramatic Series. Has Topic tried to take advantage of that interest in South Korean drama or comedy and added more titles to your catalog?
Yeah, we definitely are. We have a series of films this month, actually, that are all from South Korean directors, including Influenza, the short film, coming tomorrow. So check that out if you've not seen that before. And then in March, we'll be launching a sci-fi series that's a little bit like Black Mirror called SF8 from South Korea. So we're on the lookout for more stories from North Asia, South Korea, you know, Japan, and we hope to be able to continually add those over the course of next year. So we're trying where we can to add to our collection, yeah.
Why do you think Squid Game became the big mega hit worldwide that it has?
I think it really resonated because it started so relatably local. So it really was built off of, you know, human truths and, you know, experiences that the creator, you know, had been attempting to tell over 10 or 15 years. And I think when a story starts that authentically, it becomes very easy, even if you're not from that culture or location, to feel those themes. And I think Squid Game did a great job of balancing that with just the action, you know, the nonstop thrill, the kind of edge of your seat, you know, story narrative that pushes people through. So, I think there was a strong interest anecdotally from what I've seen from, you know, older teens and above getting their parents to watch, et cetera. So it kind of became a co-viewing driver, which is interesting for a foreign series. I'm not sure that that's happened in quite the same way with some of the other, you know, previous global hits. So it's definitely a fascinating case study. And, you know, it took years for that, right? It took a number of Netflix South Korean originals. And it, you know, obviously there's been a lot of programming before we got to that point. But it's been fun and fascinating to watch that happen.
Mm-hmm. One of your most popular attractions is a series based in New Orleans that we covered last year called Soul City. We had the creators of the show on. What's the status of that? Is that coming to a second season?
No plans for a second season. We hope that maybe it will be expanded into a longer form version in the future, but nothing to share or announce yet. But certainly we love Jidang Goody's take on horror and you know, New Orleans lore, and we really would be excited to see them take that on in other cities. So fingers crossed there'll be more of it in the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, one series that you put on this year that is going to a second season is called The Accidental Life, and it features one of the top Broadway musical personalities, Kelly O'Hara. How did that series happen? And did that turn out to be quite a surprise for your listeners that it became such a hit that you're going forward with season two?
Yeah, so that show was started by Arian Moyed a few years ago. They filmed the first season as sort of an initial web series. And then as they were embarking on season two, we got in touch with them and thought that it would make a really strong addition to Topic. So over the last couple of years, we've been working to film and complete season two and get it up onto Topic. So we were really excited with season one, which was a slight reformatting of the original web series. So the Topic version is slightly different than what originally was aired. But season two is, you know, I think really impressive. Kelly is incredible. She has such range and just captures every scene she is in, like, magnificently. So I think viewers are going to be really surprised and just entranced by season two. And it's been a really fun ride to do something different. It's a contemplative thriller. You know, it has a lot of It has a lot of message in there, and it has a lot of action, but it kind of moves between those two feelings in a way that I think is kind of atypical, and we love that. We love the kind of difference of playing on those genres that Aryan has been able to pull off. So December 30th, season two, season one's up right now. We're really looking forward to that launch.
Incidentally, if we can get the executive producer or the producer or Kelly on our show next week, we'd love to have her on. I was wondering, did you get any mail from Broadway theater or musical theater fans saying, what did you do to our Kelly? She's like so totally different than what you see on a Broadway musical stage.
I don't know about mail specifically, but I think there's definitely been some social comments on that, all incredibly positive. I mean, she's just a force. And we did the premiere screening 2 weeks ago, and we did it in a big theater, and it was just captivating to watch her on a large screen. And all of she's in almost every scene in this series, and it's impressive. So I'll definitely reach out and see if we can get her Aryan with you next week.
Great. We'd love to have her on next week since that second season premiere is during next week, right before New Year's. Is that something a Topic likes to do, by the way, is either look at web series and convert them into TV series, extend their run, or take a program that, let's say, the American version of something overseas is put together, like FX did with The Bridge with Damien Bashir, which was based on an overseas format, and you run the original?
Yeah, I think both. We've done the latter, so we really are excited to have the original series. We do have the original Bridge now exclusively, and The Killing. So we have those two. We have The Returned coming, which is a great, you know, French series that AMC remade a few years ago. And we also have Prisoners of War, which was, of course, the inspiration for Homeland, coming later this year. So there's a couple others in addition to those, but we are trying to create a home for series that later are go on to be remade so that people can find them and watch them, because sometimes it's hard to search them out. They're not always available. So definitely we find great value in that. And then we do look to expand or explore shorter form, use it to potentially experiment into longer form. We've done a couple of those to date, including a short called Down from London that we made into a series with our partners Mermaid, Sharon Horgan's company. And we have a couple others, we've been exploring. It takes a lot of time, so it just depends. But we definitely, we really value short-form film, a part of what was the origination of Topic as a digital magazine and website. So we feel that strongly in our DNA, and we really like to support those efforts and see if we can build upon short-form work into other formats later.
In a moment, we'll talk with Ryan about a very interesting show that he was very deeply involved with called The Park, which is coming out next year. And we'll also about the possibility of, let's say, co-productions and what else network is doing in terms of documentaries and original unscripted programming. Ryan Chinatry is the general manager of Topic, available on smart TV sets and smart devices. He joins live from Dayton, Ohio this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. I'm coming to you from New Haven, New York, 47 degrees at the top of the hour. Request your comment. I'm meeting this Ryan. Make that call, 646-652-2906. We're using our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We already have some commitments, by the way, for our first episodes of 2022. Let's just tell you about them. First of all, two of our guests coming your way on our first episode of the year. That's Monday, January 3rd. From American Ninja Warrior, we'll have executive producer Brian Richardson, and we'll also pair him with one of the contestants on the next edition of that NBC series. He's a former NFL player named Anthony Trucks. That's Brian Richardson, Anthony Trucks, American Ninja Warrior, starting a new season on NBC soon. They'll be on our first episode of 2022. On our second episode on January 7th, that's Friday, we'll have, among other people, one of the executive producers of the Discovery Channel's remake of Dirty Jobs, the popular Mike Rowe series that is coming back next month. And on January 10th, Crackle, now under the ownership of Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment. They got a lot of very big plans for 2022. And we'll talk to the president of Crackle Plus, their mega content service, Felipe Golton. That's all coming up on our first few episodes of 2022, Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m., noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Now, I recently read that you are doing, you were involved in a very unique manner in a program called The Park. Talk about that, because it looks like that's going to be one of your top attractions next year.
Yeah, so back to your earlier question, that actually came from a short film that the director had created that we saw a couple years ago and were really inspired by, called The Fisherman. And we've worked with Shaw, the director, now to develop his world. He sort of had an entire world of story that he had been, building up. And we took one piece of that story, which is the world in which the park happens, which is a unfortunately not too dissimilar to what we're going through right now, but sort of a dystopian world in which there's been a virus that has happened. He wrote all of this pre-COVID, though. And the unique thing about the park is it focuses on a group of teenagers and how they kind of have to survive and navigate through this world. So we were lucky to be able to film that in New Orleans over this year and get it done safely. And we're now working it through some festivals, and we'll be bringing it, out into the world sometime next year, most likely. So it's a really interesting and special project.
Mm-hmm. Did I read somewhere that Martin Lawrence, the actor comedian of Martin fame, is also going to be doing a topic project?
You did. So that's actually with our sister part of the company called Topic Studios. And what's unique about that project is it is a remake of an Israeli drama comedy series called Nihama, which is available on Topic. So the streaming service got the rights to the original series, and our studio is now working with Martin on doing the remake. So that's going to be really thrilling. The original is very, very unique. It's about a father whose wife unfortunately passes away, and he wants to restart his career as a stand-up comedian while he has five kids. It's one of my favorite series that we have. I'd strongly recommend people check it out. And of course, also, the remake in the future with Martin. So that's a great example of sort of taking an original project, having it on Topic, and then working to bring it out into the world in a new form.
As time goes on, by the way, next year, is Topic Studios going to contribute more and more of Topic, the networks, or the services schedule?
Good question. I mean, we're always sort of playing that by ear. We definitely look for ways to collaborate together and work on bringing, programming to the service, and also to collaborate on other ideas. No specific or definite plans next year, but we definitely hoping on into the future that we'll have more projects that we share. Yeah.
Ryan, two more subjects before we wrap. One is the possibility of co-productions with some of the international companies you're dealing with to do shows, to originate shows specifically for Topic. And secondly, what about the marketplace for unscripted programming, whether it's documentary specials or docuseries?
Yeah, co-pros are, we love co-pros. We are just wrapping one we did in the UK with ITV called The Missing Children, which aired there recently, and we'll have a special three-part series version of that coming in early next year in March. That's a non-fiction docu-series about the baby and mother homes in Ireland, sort of the scandal that's been unfolding over the last 50 to 60 years of babies being taken from their young mothers and then either miscared for or pushed into adoption without the permission of the parents. There's a large part of America that was complicit in this with Ireland around the time of the sort of 60s, 70s, and 80s. So that's a really impactful and kind of heartbreaking program, but very important. So we love to do those types of co-productions where we can work together with other, production firms or production companies or channels or distributors. We just won a Gotham Award for our nonfiction series, Philly DA. So we are strong proponents of nonfiction, both in series and film form. We have quite a few documentary films on the service now across a number of different genres. True crime, social, music. So we look to have those because we think it's important to present a breadth of views and commentary on issues, and we'll continue to program those where it makes sense. The one of the next big ones coming is a documentary called The Jump, which is a true story. Well, it's a documentary, so it would be true, but it's the kind of a retelling of a man who jumped over to a U.S. ship in order to try to get extradition. Some of your listeners may remember that from the 70s. It was a Soviet fishing vessel, and he jumped over to an American vessel that they pulled up against. So really compelling and captivating, you know, and unique documentary.
One other thing, practically every mega content service is now making program development deals with either major TV producers, writers, series creators, or up-and-comers as well. Do you see Topic getting into that, where ultimately you'll join your competition in, let's say, if you find a talent that you'd like to work with and develop new series with, scripted or unscripted, that you may get into the program development, the long-term contract?
Yeah, I think it's certainly a possibility. We look for any great idea and any, you know, really talented, creative, visionary who's looking to tell it, and we'll work. We're unique in that, or not unique, but we're very flexible in how we are able to do development, able to work into productions, co-productions, given our size, given sort of our mandate, given the fact that we're independent. We don't have any shareholder, you know, interests we're having to worry about, so we can take on more provocative, you know, stories than some of the other streamers. So I definitely think we're open to that. And, you know, it's as we talked about earlier, it's challenging as some of the niche services to really make your case here. So you got to look for big splashy bets you can make. And certainly that, I think, would be an area that it might make sense.
The name of the service is Topic, and chances are you can find it on smart TV sets or smart TV devices, either as a separate service or, as we told you at the top of our promo news notes, it's now part of the new CuriosityStream Smart Tier, also available on many smart TV sets and smart TV devices as of today. Any more information you want about the service and upcoming programming, go online to topic.com, T-O-P-I-C, topic.com. Topic, mega content service available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices wherever you are. Ryan Schenactory, the general manager of Topic, thank you again for joining us. From all of us to all of your folks, have a wonderful holiday season, a sensational 2022 year ahead, and we look forward to covering your shows in the months to come.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me, and it's been a great conversation. Happy holidays to you as well.
Absolutely. Take care. All the greatest.
Bye. Thanks.
Ryan Schenactory from Topic joining us live from Dayton, Ohio. Simon Abbott with you for tomorrow. We televised. I want to welcome Janice Torres PR into our chat room. If you have a question or comment for our guest ahead, put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. More tomorrow. We televised coming away, but first some words from our fine sponsor at Audible.com. You know, coming up, one of the big early attractions a lot of people are talking about is Bel Air. That's the new offshoot of The Fresh Prince of Bel Air, put together by Will Smith and his production company, Westbrook. And at the same time, Will has just come out with an audiobook called Will, which he narrates. And you can get it right now if you are a trial member with Audible.com. You know, Audible.com is by far the leading provider of spoken digital learning entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 250,000 titles to choose from, and he lists them on any device, whoever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, etc. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, 1 month trial, great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com, and while it lasts, free health and wealth information. And if you're an Amazon Prime member, guess what? Two audiobooks for your trial of one, including the growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio productions, podcast series, best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, great woman and one-man performances. And if you just want to go ahead and subscribe, guess what? For a limited time, you can get your first 3 months available at only $5.95 a month, well off the original subscription price. And as always, it makes a great holiday gift for you or someone you love. Never too late to get involved. For all details, go to audibletrial.com/televised. Catholic trivia question coming up in our next half hour. But first, what are some of the interesting projections that Wide Orbit, the ad management firm, is making about TV 2022? Well, Chief Product Officer Will Uffman will join us live from Redmond, Washington State, after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 65 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Coming your way tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, it's Talking Terror. Yes, terror and entertainment, that's what we're talking about. Talking Terror. Catch the latest episode, Christmas Week Edition, tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best VTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our special two-hour midweek edition, Christmas Week 2021 edition of Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom and I'm with you live from New York, 47 degrees, top of the hour. Happy to have you along. If you have questions or comments for our guests in the 90 minutes ahead, make the call. We want you to, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. It is filling up as we speak, and we like that. On our first episode of our Christmas Week triple header on Monday, we had Jim Gegengack from Hub Entertainment Research give us his thoughts about where he and his organization see TV going next year. Well, now we get some other perspectives about that very subject from Wise Orbit, a very popular tech firm. And joining us live to talk about it, Redmond, Washington, is Chief Product Officer Jim Upman. Jim, happy holidays. Welcome to our program.
Hi, Simon. This is actually Will Offman from Wide Orbit, and I am the Chief Product Officer there. Thank you so much for inviting me to the show. I've been at Wide Orbit for over two decades now, and I'm responsible for all of the products that Wide Orbit builds for our customer base, which is really the publishers and distributors of media content. Over the last two decades, I have really seen a lot in the industry. When we first started, we basically built software for over-the-air call letter TV stations. You know, those are the ways most people recognized how they were getting their signal. But since then, we've expanded into radio stations, satellite providers, cable networks, broadcast networks, cable interconnects, the MSOs, MVPDs, digital offerings, programmatic SSPs, streaming audio, podcasting, CTV, OTT, you name all the buzz letters. So the company is about 20 years old now, and I'm responsible for all the products that we make, and really enjoyed watching sort of the evolution of sort of the traditional in classic media, which is where we first got started, into sort of the digital, addressable, targeted, and the plethora of options that are now available for consumers.
Mm-hmm. And Will, it's great to have you, and congratulations on your company's two-decade anniversary. Your company has made recently four forecasts about what TV 2022 will bring, and we'll get to each one of them shortly. But first, overall impression, how do you think next year is going to go?
Well, so that is a super fantastic question. Let me step back just one quick second so that I make sure that the folks on the call actually understand what Wide Orbit does. So we are a software vendor, which you mentioned at the beginning. The lingo I would say is that we're the system of record for inventory management for advertising in the media industry for the monetization aspect. But often that doesn't resonate with people. So if I'm at a cocktail party and someone asks me, what does Wide Orbit do? I say, when you're watching TV, and TV is super complicated, and you see a commercial, the Wide Orbit software manages what commercials you see. And I often go and then reference sort of when Billy Crystal was playing the role of a radio account executive in City Slicker, right? He walks into this classroom, he's trying to help the kids understand what he does. And he comes to the conclusion, I sell air. That's what my job is. My job is to sell air. Well, Wide Orbit, we make the software that helps everyone sell air. And so as you bring folks onto the show and they're talking about the content they're creating and you know, how they're building communities and everything else, it takes usually monetization to help fund the creative process. And Wide Orbit basically builds the software that manages the advertising revenue streams for those content producers as well as the content distributors. So I just really wanted to start with that, make sure that sort of level set on what the company Wide Orbit is and what we do. Mm-hmm. To answer your specific question, there's a lot that's happening. And I'm going to talk about it, Simon, really from more of that back office perspective, meaning consumers, they want to, you know, find the content, which is getting harder and harder to do. They want to watch it. Some have subscriptions, some are okay doing advertising supported, some are comfortable with that transactional based or pay for, you know, viewing. Wide Orbit really functions in the back office to make the advertising functions easier. And part of that is to make it easier to buy and sell media. And that's really why WideOrbit was founded. And so as we move into 22, you're going to see a lot of progress in how to streamline the automation of buying and selling media. It seems back office, and it seems like what a lot of folks may, you know, like that just happens behind the scenes, but there's a whole bunch of people in the industry that are needed to make these transactions work and to actually get compensated. And on top of it, advertisers really want to reach a community of audience that their advertisements resonate with. And so a lot of what WideOrbit does is focused on the advertising portion of this. So I think there's a lot of things that we're going to be seeing in 22. They range everywhere from alternative rating currencies coming into play. There's a lot of hype sort of on the metaverse, which kind of looks like Sims and Second Life to me, but that's a different thing. Social media and the influencers are going to continue to thrive on new platforms. You're just seeing a lot of change. Unfortunately, it's really hard for the consumer to understand where to go to and where to access their content. And that's also making it very difficult for the advertisers to reach their audiences at scale.
So what do you think needs to be done? Because one of the first predictions you made here is that your company sees that audiences are going to continue to shift toward smart TV sets and smart TV devices to watch their content. They're currently watching tens of billions of hours of content. We're seeing more and more ad-supported services come on. The smart TV sets and devices are now becoming content makers or channel makers as well as content carriers. And also, we're seeing now TikTok is becoming as much a smart TV distributed service as a smartphone distributed service. And we're also seeing Zoom, and we're going to have an announcement in a moment, but Amazon announced today, it's going to be in our news notes quickly at the top of the hour, that Zoom is now becoming a Amazon-distributed smart TV service. So how do you sort of generate the two here about as audiences continue to move toward watching their programming over their smart TV sets and devices, will the advertisers follow along?
So I think the answer is yes. Advertisers need to reach their audiences. But I do believe, so first off, my roots are in local broadcast, and I'm a big, huge believer in local broadcast television and the ability to reach a massive, unduplicated audience with a message. As this world becomes more fragmented, a lot of times what you'll hear from the digital proponents is it's all about getting the right message to the right audience at the right time. And I think there's certainly value in that. But I believe for advertisers, which is sort of, you know, how a lot of content is monetized, being able to get a common message to a common audience at a common time actually has greater advertising impact. People want a shared experience. They want to be able, they want everything specifically targeted to them. And a lot of times there's also sort of that creepiness of the retargeting that you get when you've seen something that keeps popping up. I believe all of these new services that are coming out, which are enabling content to be reached to the consumer, can still learn a lot from how broadcast works. It's really about a connection. It's not alienating the customer. It's not treating them like big data in a science experiment. It's something that the broadcasters have been very good at for a very long period of time, which is building that community aspect, relating to them, you know, being a trusted source for where folks can go to for news and other types of in-market information. I really believe that the consumer demands, you know, their content immediately. They still want to have that connection, and they want to have that common experience. And so as all of these providers come into play, I think you're going to see there's going to be a next generation of advertising technology that has a more humanistic way of looking at the folks that are viewing the content. It's not going to be just, you know, your data attribute and based upon now we're a cookless environment, but how they can target you and put you into a category, what content you're going to receive. So I really do believe the services are fantastic. The advertising in the way to relate to a consumer hasn't quite caught up yet.
You're hearing Will Ottman. He is Chief Product Officer of Wide Orbit. He joins us live from Redmond, Washington. That's Washington State this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon with you live from New York. Happy you're with us on this Wednesday before Christmas 2021. If you have a question or a comment for our guests, well, pick up the phone and dial in 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up for the top of the hour, we have our classic trivia question of the week. We have five prizes in store for you if you're first with the correct answer. One of those prizes being the recently run 20 Years of Christmas, the Christmas with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. It was on PBS last Monday, BYU TV last Thursday. Now it's available on DVD with bonus material. And that DVD can be yours, along with four of the prizes, if you know the correct answer to that classic trivia question. So stay tuned for the top of the hour. We will bring that to you. I want to jump to another, because of what you just said, Will, another prediction, which is that personalized ads are going to happen. By personalized, yeah, how intimate are they going to be? And are we talking, by the way, about interactive ads, which seems to be getting growing momentum as this year is ending?
So I really believe that there needs to be a trust factor between the audience and, first and foremost, the content that they're watching. And then once that trust factor is created, then it can be leveraged by the buying community to get their messages across. If you haven't built that initial trust factor, any time you start to go into personalization, it can get a creepy feel to it. You're also going to be seeing a lot of different forms of advertising content. They're going to be more embedded into the shows, meaning the product placements and people bringing up the products. I think video is unique, and oftentimes it's more of a passive interaction where you want to be entertained and less interactive, where you're not necessarily like in a video game and you're not working with something. You kind of want it to sort of entertain you but not engage with you at a deeper level, right? There's always been the desires to, you know, someone comes in with a dress on and you can click on the dress and then go buy it now. I do think those applications will eventually happen, but I still think the consumer most of the time is more of a passive environment. They're kind of watching it, absorbing it, and they want to be entertained and not sold to. And so I really think as content in advertising gets more, quote unquote, personalized, the advertisers still need to make a common impression across their customer base. They really still need that shared experience so people are talking about it in a cohesive manner. So I think it's important not to go to a level where those ads are so specific that one person is getting a single highly customized advertisement for them. I think the shared community aspect is vitally, vitally important. And as soon as you start to go a little bit too personalized from an untrusted source, like who is this advertiser that knows so much about me, people push back. And so I'm a big believer in first building trust. You build it through the content. The buy side can sort of leverage that. And once you have a relationship with the consumer, then, you know, you can obviously target them at a much greater capacity. But to start with, at the top level of the funnel, a little bit more passive and a little bit more generic is what I personally believe digital needs to focus on. And they need to be able to get that unduplicated reach as much as possible. They've moved into a world where there's so much data and so much targeting that they're hitting the same consumer with the same message over and over and over again. And that's repetitive. It's a waste of money. And it can also get to the point where the consumer gets repulsed by the advertising. And you never want that to happen.
If interactive advertising breaks loose next year, is interactive content going to happen along with it, or as some people think it will do this next year, or does it come later, 2023, 24, et cetera?
So it all depends, I think, on how the content is being consumed. In the standard television model, which is obviously getting consumed on lots of different devices, from a big screen in the living room to a tablet or phone, each of those has different viewing experiences. I think as you get into the younger generations and the way that they're consuming content with a swipe left, a swipe right, a swipe up, a swipe down, there will be more experiments with interactivity there. I think by and large, though, those are going to be highly produced, highly customized for the platform in which the consumer is receiving the content. And by and large, most of the advertisements that still come out are going to be mostly just sight and sound, the motion pieces, without a lot of the interactivity. It'll be interesting. You know, I don't know where the next gen of augmented and virtual reality and all of that is heading towards and what additional creativity will happen there. I still believe at the core of it, advertisers want to persuade and they do not want to alienate, and they need to make that experience engaging and not creepy. And they do not want to make their customer, potential customer, work for it. So I do think you're going to see things that they will learn from the gamification of things, like, you know, they'll add interactivity for, like, you know, being able to scratch something off to win something. I think that is it's already happening, right? It's in game today. But I don't know if it's going to go mainstream in 22. I think it's going to be a few more years before we see that happening.
What do you say to people who think that the public is more ready than you think on two counts? First of all, every smart TV set device now has artificial intelligence built in so that you can use Siri or Google Assistant or Alexa to control the set and how you use it with your voice along with your remote control. And you don't need a smart speaker next to the set. You just go to the set and do it. The other thing is that we're seeing surveys, the most recent from Magid and Vizio, the smart TV maker, suggesting that more people than you think, on the order of 40% to 50% or higher, are now into everything from, I want to have live weather and traffic reports on my set, interact with them. I want to have menus on the TV set so I can order food from Grubhub or DoorDash, whatever, and make it delivered and put deliveries to the TV set, or order products and services, or have my home security camera on the set, or do Zoom on the set, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But maybe there is a more substantial audience interested in being interactive with the TV, and they've got the way to do it now with their voice.
So Simon, I 100% agree with you that they want to be interactive. I don't know yet if they want to be interactive with the advertisements. And when I talk to my Alexa device, and it offers me an ad, that's generally the first thing I feel, and maybe I'm not the norm, is I don't want these devices selling me things yet. Yes, I absolutely want them to tell me the weather. I want them to tell me current events, and I want them to keep me educated and informed. You have to understand, Simon, my goggles and my colored glasses that I look at the world with is from an advertising perspective. And I don't think the world is yet ready for as much proactive advertising or interactive advertising. I 100% believe that people want to have a way to easily tell their devices what's for them. I don't think they're yet ready for those devices to sell things proactively to them. Just want to be clear on that perspective.
Yep. In a moment, I'm going to ask Will Offman what he thinks about the future of linear broadcast television, both TV networks and stations. I think it'll be very interesting what he has to say, as well as next-gen television. But first, we'll let you know, if you have a question or comment in our remaining minutes with Will from Wide Orbit, joining us live from Redmond, Washington this half hour, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04Bename. And coming up in our next hour, we got a lot of great things for you. First, you're going to meet a host producer named Rebecca Gitana, who just put on a special on Roku called Healing Through the Home. And in our final half hour, another inter-radio exclusive, Fox's first scripted series of 2022, The Cleaning Lady, premieres on January 3rd. We'll have live the creator and executive producer, Miranda Kwok, and from Queen Sugar, showrunner Melissa Carter. That's all coming up in our next hour. So don't you go away and tell people that you know them, that they're around, have them tune in, because they can get involved by phone or chat room. Will, what the other major prediction you made from Wide Orbit is that underestimate broadcast TV at your peril. Why do you say that, given the environment we have right now where, for example, on a given broadcast station, a network night, you may get between 3 and 5 million viewers watching your shows on a regular basis. And when it comes to syndication and broadcast stations, the ratings were at their lowest point ever.
So I think for a couple of reasons. First and foremost, there's an in-market trust with the local broadcasters. In times of crisis or someone else, other needs, people want a common experience to go to. And those call letter TV stations provide sort of that voice of community. You know, they've been there through crises. They're typically known for assisting the communities and everything else. So when I say be careful of broadcasts or avoid it at your peril, you can often see just the impact and influence it has in the political arena as well. So in order to get a message out to as many people as possible, broadcast is still, I would argue, the most effective mechanism for that broad reach. As soon as you start going into digital or the next generation of advertising and targeted, it's very, very difficult because it's not organized in such a manner where you can easily put that buy-in across all of the different outlets that that content could be consumed from. I've grown up in the broadcast world. I appreciate what they do. I do think there's a lot that they're learning from digital. You know, again, with the advertising focus, everything is about impressions. It's not about rating points as much or the cost per points. They're trying to do everything they can to embrace what the digital side is doing. But I also think the digital side needs to embrace from the broadcasting side. And I'm a big believer in that local community and shared experience. And I do think everything is like a pendulum. And when it swings too far to a place where there's not a connection and there's not a sense of community, people want that. And I think it's very hard to find that in a lot of the digital worlds right now, and certainly in the video or TV outlets for those. So I'm still a huge proponent that the broadcast reach, unduplicated reach with a shared message, you know, that common message, common audience, common time, there's nothing out there better than that today.
Final question for you, Will, and this deals with the future of broadcast television on the station level. It seems in the last couple of years, broadcast stations individually or station groups have realized several ways to stay alive. One is to form national networks and put them on smart TV sets or smart device or multicast channels. For example, Gray TV with the Circle Network, the Country Music Service, or Nexstar with News Nation, or Fox with Fox Soul. Another way is to be part of bundles, whether it is Byron Allen with Local Now, whether it's Sinclair with Stir, whether it's View It TV, which has become the Netflix of local station event programming, which does some originals also that can be seen around the country. And then there's Next Gen TV, which right now is available in about 40 markets. Los Angeles got going with many of their stations in the area last week. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania just got going yesterday. Will any or all of these keep broadcast TV alive?
So I think there's a number of things that keep broadcast TV alive. I think the one you touched on, the Next Gen TV, which is the rebranding of what ATSC3 was called, that allows the local broadcasters to serve up streams that can be addressed much like a digital outlet. So that provides the broadcasters the ability to make their TV signal look a lot like an interactive program that you get from the current OTT platforms that are out there. So number one, I think that's vital and important for the broadcasters. Number two, I also believe that going back to, you know, content is king, distribution is queen. No one has really figured out the best way to handle the distribution aspect of it. And if the local broadcasters can build up an environment where it's easy for the cord cutters to get their content distributed to them through something that broadcasters manage, that distribution channel is still widely open and available for them. And then the third thing I wanted to point out is that there's this notion of programmatic. And programmatic in the digital space was like real-time bidding, which people joked was raced to the bottom. We've been building out marketplaces instead of programmatic specifically to make it easier to buy local media, in fact, to buy any type of local advertising. So I think part of the challenge with local TV has also been the ability for the advertisers to actually buy it. It's been very, very challenging from that aspect. So you need good content. That's absolutely true. You need a distribution mechanism where people can receive the content. And when it's ad supported, right, you've got all these fast channels that are popping up on the OTT space, but you also have that next gen TV. Making it easy to buy that is something vitally important for the broadcasting ecosystem. So we need to remove friction across the entire ecosystem.
One thing is for sure, Will, the next 12 months ahead are going to be an absolutely – you think this year was a wild ride. Wait till next year. It is going to be – and you may not have to wait for long. It's going to be an incredible ride for sure. If you want more details about the predictions that Wide Orbit has made, here's where you go online, www.wideorbit.com. It's www.wideorbit, that's Wide Orbit, one phrase, .com. Will, Chief Product Officer at Wide Orbit, thank you again for joining us from Redmond, Washington. Happy holidays to you and everybody at your company, and hopefully have a fantastic 2022 ahead. It's been great to have you on, and I really appreciate your food for thought about where you and your company see things going.
Thank you very much for having me on, Simon. Happy holidays.
You too. All the greatest. Will Hoffman joining us live from Redmond, Washington this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Now time for our Classic Trivia Question of the Week. And we have five prizes, the most we've ever offered in one shot, available to you right now if you have the correct answer and you get it in first to this question. On what ABC series did John Ritter play a cop? On what ABC series did John Ritter play a cop? And I'll give you another hint. It's a one-word title. On what ABC one-word series did John Ritter play a cop? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. The person with the correct answer, you'll win the brand new DVD of the recent PBS and BYU TV special, 20 Years of Christmas with the Tabernacle Choir, containing bonus material that was not on last week's presentation. Plus, a Freak Brothers t-shirt from the 2B animated series that's doing very well all over the place, and the Loud House crayon set from Nickelodeon, as well as two great books, Betty White, 100 Remarkable Moments in Extraordinary Life by Ray Richmond, was on the show last week, and the unofficial Hocus Pocus cookbook based on the popular movie, which is being remade for Disney Plus next year with Bette Midler in the lead. Again, the answer, the place you go is simonapple04@yahoo.com, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Make sure you enclose your name and your mailing address. So if you win, we get the prize out to you ASAP past this holiday season. And remember, if we don't get a winner by the end today, we'll post a question tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook on Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's UBC Simon, TWBT. And if we have time before the top of the next hour when we have to wrap things up, we, in case you missed it, we will present the question one more time. So keep your fingers crossed that we do that. You're listening to Tomorrow Be Televised. We are the program all about the tube, where it's at, where it's going. We usually come your way Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio. And if you want to catch up on any or all of our episodes so far this year, go anytime you like to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And go to our podcast sites. We've got Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Verbal Reason, and for all of our programs, from January on this year, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. You also go to our website, which is tomorrowbetelevised.podsite.io. That's tomorrowbetelevised.podsite.io. Coming up in our next hour, we will have our show to know. It's a special coming your way Monday night that may help some of our veterans. Plus, we will have in our next, at the top of the bottom of the hour, we'll have the people behind Fox's first scripted series of 2022, The Cleaning Lady. Creator and executive producer Miranda Kwok and showrunner Melissa Carter will both be with us. But first, meet an entrepreneur who's hosting and producing a special that just got on Roku called Healing Through the Home. Rebecca Gatton is that person. She'll join me here in New York after we pause near the top of the hour for web identification. You're listening to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. You're going to reach over 65 million listeners around the world every month and growing. This Saturday and every Saturday at noon, Eastern 9 a.m. Pacific, it's Post Time with the Greek. The Greek has all the details on the upcoming time with the National Football League, Week 16 coming up, plus college football bowl games, the NHL, NBA, a whole lot more. That's Post Time with the Greeks, Saturday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio, Christmas Day edition, coming your way. I'm sure we'll have a lot to say about the Christmas Day fivesome of NBA games on ABC and ESPN. And remember, Best of ETR comes your way 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the Marvy Televised special two-hour edition. And for our second hour, welcome to those who are just joining us at the top of the hour. Time now, I'm with you live from New Weather York. It's 45 degrees at the top of this hour, and we invite you to be part of the program. Got some great guests coming your way in the 60 minutes ahead. So give us a call. How do you do it? You pick up the phone, you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Number is good anyway, or catch across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio. Or use our chat room. Simon Apple 04, my name, Janice Torres, PR, is in the room. So use the phone or the room. Either way, we get your questions or comments answered. And while the program is on the air, you can connect us by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk speaker, or tune in screen. Follow the instructions. I'll be live with you. Rebecca Gattana from Healing Through the Home on Roku and other places joins us live here in New York after a group of news note quickies. ABC and ESPN's annual group of NBA Christmas Day games will be played this Saturday. That declaration comes from NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. Snowfall will premiere its fifth season on FX February 23rd. SurvivorNet Television, the smart TV distributed service dealing with cancer and living with it, will replay The Big C, that Showtime's award-winning drama series starring Laura Linney, starting on January 10th. Amazon will expand carriage of Zoom to its own line of smart TV sets. Various Amazon Fire TV products launched Zoom this past summer. An interactive TV undertaking, GameStar Plus, with Steve Harvey's investor and spokesperson, wrapped its crowdfunding drive. Nearly $5.2 million was raised through WeFunder. And that is news notes for today. As we've said a lot over the course of the last few weeks, smart TV sets and smart TV devices are not only becoming content places to find content, but places where content is created and channels are created. And such a situation happened to our next guest. She is a host, producer, and entrepreneur, and recently she launched her own special called Healing Through the Home on Roku and on other smart TV sets. Joining me live from New York, Rebecca Gattana. Rebecca, happy holidays and welcome in.
Mm-hmm. Happy holidays, Simon, and thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. So how did you get yourself in a position of doing a special for Roku?
Yes, well, I have been a long time so far self-taught TV producer, and several years ago, I produced a TV show on local public television called Lifestyle Remix. And then recently, in the last year, I, throughout the pandemic, created another show called Healing Through the Home. And I think everyone listening can agree that there has never been a more important time to heal our lives and to heal our homes, as we've all experienced lockdown and being face-to-face with our clutter, with our riches, with our entire life, just living in it every single day. And so I decided to shoot the show, and I shot it here at my mothership, which is my home base in New York City. And it's one of those things where you capture something, you create something, you have a vision, and then opportunity comes. And so the opportunity came when I was able to pitch my show to KP Media, which is a Black woman-owned media company, and they were looking for new content. And it just so happens that I had created this beautiful work of medicine that was just waiting to be put on television. And so that's how it wound up being on Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire, and Android TV.
Before we get into more about the specific special, what is your philosophy of how do homes or apartments generate an environment of healing? And how do you define healing in this case?
Yes. So our home spaces, they are where we rest. They're where we reconnect with ourselves, with our loved ones. They're where we strategize. They're where we recover. They are an extension of us. You know, we live in our bodies, but our bodies and our spirits live in our home space. And so in connecting with our home, in acknowledging that divine connection between us, the life that we're living, the life we want to create, and our home environment, it's a really self-empowering practice. And that's what the show brings.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a moment ago that you taught yourself as a producer. How did you go through the self-teaching process?
Well, for me, I was always very inspired by public television, PBS, Sesame Street, the Mr. Rogers of the world, and public radio as well. And having this opportunity to share from a place that to me felt very organic and grassroots, right? And so as I got older, I actually got into radio. I was doing internet radio for a while, and that was my first opportunity broadcasting information and inspiration with the world. But very quickly, I knew that I wanted to move into television, and I didn't want to wait for a Home and Garden to pick me up, one of these channels to pick me up. And so I said to myself, I can create television. I can create this, you know, visual experience where people can learn and grow. And so simultaneously with that, I started reporting live from different cultural events, such as the National Puerto Rican Day Parade and other major events happening in New York City. And very quickly, I started to get comfortable in reporting live from a place, sharing the visuals and broadcasting them out with the world. And so it's one of those things when you have a mission and a vision in your heart, you kind of just learn how to do it. And that's pretty much what happened. And it wasn't easy to learn to do that. I never went to school for broadcasting. I never went to school for video editing and all of these things. But again, when that mission and vision is so clear in your soul, you find a way. And somehow spirit also helps you along the way to have the audacity, to have the bravery, and even the know-how. So it took time, but it was me being dedicated and not being afraid to produce things and to feel like, oh my God, this isn't good enough. You know, this isn't worthy of television. It's like, no. I know that what I'm creating is coming from such a real place that it's deserving to be on television, and people deserve to receive what I have to share.
Yeah, given your public television background, are you surprised that this special ended up on Roku as opposed to being syndicated in some manner on public television stations, whether it's through PBS, whether it's through America's public television stations, American Public Television, other regional public networks, so forth?
I think that it's timely. I think that, you know, the Rokus of the world, the Amazon Fires, the Android TV, the Apple TV, it's all in alignment with what's opening up for us in terms of broadcasting at this time. You know, we're well past the seven TV channels that we grew up on. And so in using all of these different platforms, we can really see diversity in media and see programming from creators that maybe we would not see otherwise. I eventually would like to put my show back on public television, but for right now I've been kind of letting it rock there on those streaming platforms, and I have no doubt that within the next year, my show, my presence will be brought onto even larger networks and platforms. So that's something really exciting to look forward to.
By the way, in addition to Roku, what are some of the other smart TV sets and devices that are taking the special?
Yes. So you can watch on Roku, on Amazon Fire, on Android TV, and on Apple TV. And you can watch on your television set, and you can watch from any smartphone or tablet, which is amazing. You can literally be sitting anywhere in the world and watch Healing Through the Home.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're about to talk about, Healing Through the Home. It's a special running, as you just heard, on Roku and other smart TV sets and devices. You're hearing the host and producer and originator of the special, Rebecca Gaetana. She joins me here in the Big Apple this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised as we go into our second hour of this special two-hour Wednesday Christmas week edition. Simon Avon with you live from New York. Right now it's 5 degrees at the top of the hour. And if you have a question or comment for Rebecca, don't be shy. Ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up tomorrow on Tomorrow Be Televised, we are hoping to get the people behind UKW Media, a pair of programming services, ad-supported, that just started this week on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. We hope to have one or both of the people behind the service, or services, I should say, with us on tomorrow's show. Also, we'll have a takeaway of the week, classic trivia segment, and more. That's all coming up on tomorrow, our third of our triple header episodes this Christmas week 2021, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. That's the time to tune in right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. So how does healing through the home work?
Yes. Healing through the home works when you decide that you are going to activate your home space. And what does that mean to activate your home space? That means to be present with your space, to acknowledge that your home is a living, breathing extension of you and your life. That's when healing through the home takes place. Healing through the home is all about giving thanks for the home you have now, whether you are renting a room or whether you live in a mansion. All the principles apply no matter who or what you are, where you are in the world. It's all about giving gratitude for your environment, giving gratitude for the things that you do have, being creative with your riches, being innovative with what it is that you have, and with being mindful in how you curate your space, whether that is bringing in, you know, the right colors. In the show, we talk about color therapy and what color means for you and how color can really activate your environment, how it can soothe you, inspire you, and even heal you. We talk about the power of keeping a spiritually clean home and what that means. You know, getting rid of the old energy. The same way you get rid of the garbage in your home is the same way that we all need to get rid of the spiritual trash that can accumulate in the home space, whether that is illness. Many of us right now are dealing with COVID and family members who may be sick. How do you refresh your environment after illness? How do you refresh your environment after loss, whether it's miscarriage, death, divorce? And how do you amplify your environment when you need to be activated, when you need to be inspired, when you need to lift yourself out of feelings of anxiety, depression, lack of self-worth? And we go into all of those things in the show. We even go into gardening and the power of having living things in your environment and what that does, not just for your air quality, but also for your spiritual life quality, for the beauty in your home, and so much more. It's a really great show, and so many people that are watching it are getting so inspired and are making incredible changes in how they're living and in how they're seeing their space. So many times we think that in order to live well, we have to make more money or live in a better place. But healing through the home is all about showing you that no matter where you are in your home life journey, you are exactly where you need to be, and you can live the good life.
Did you take this special in the height of the pandemic? And if so, how did that impact how you produced it?
Yes, I actually did. I shot the majority of what you see on the show in the summer of 2020, and it was a very tiny crew that was here with me and shot this special. It was one of those divine things that came together. And it definitely impacted the show in that it brought the viewers into my home. So I'm not able to necessarily go into homes and show people how to heal their home. But beautifully as that is, it actually brought people to see, like, everything that I'm going to show you in the show that you're going to see at my mothership, it's all really attainable things, you know, really attainable. And definitely the pandemic influence that. This work that I do about home healing, it's my lifelong work. I've literally been doing this work since I was a little girl. I would go to friends' homes, and if they wanted to play and their room was a mess, I would tell them, we need to clean and clear so we can make something new. Like, this is my lifelong work. But it just so happens that now in this pandemic, in this time when we're in lockdown, when we're confined mostly to our home environments, that that we're here, healing through the home. There's no mistakes in timing and purpose.
As you know, networks like Food Network, Home and Garden Television, DIY, et cetera, and I'm sure some of the public television lifestyle shows that are running weekly on various stations all did episodes from their host homes or their guest homes. using pandemic-influenced technology. Did you check that, how these other ventures were doing with this before you went and taped your program?
Well, the interesting thing is that while the world was preparing for home broadcasts, I was already doing home broadcasting, whether it was going live on Instagram, whether it was doing workshops on Zoom, I was already there. So other people were struggling to create a set or to create an environment where I was literally already set up for this. I do many virtual sessions with clients. I have clients all across the country and even across the globe. So I was oddly prepared for everything. And my first show, Lifestyle Remix, was also shot at my mothership. And so this idea of shooting from home was not new for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rebecca, are there certain, going back to the whole idea of the program, are there certain elements or rooms in a home that in the course of doing this you felt trigger the healing process more than others? And overall, how do you illustrate the whole concept and not make it, you know, static for the viewer? One of the things about lifestyle shows is they seem to find a way, whether through remote location work, to not make it, oh, here's the host that, goes through the home, goes to the apartment, and you then have a close-up of the object or a close-up or a wide shot of the room and so forth, to make it visually illustrative, make it visually interesting for viewers.
Yes. Well, we definitely make it visually dynamic for viewers because the show is just shot with such an energy. It's shot in a very cinematic way. It's very dreamy. You really feel like you're there hanging out with me, with us at the mothership. And all the words that I am sharing, when you see the when you hear the words and you see the visuals, you feel it in your bones. Like, the show is felt. It's not just something that you sit and watch and it's just out of you. You really do feel it in your bones. It speaks to the parts of us that are so sensitive and delicate. Our home spaces are our most delicate places in the world. Like, there's nothing more intimate than that. Like, the way your underwear drawer is intimate is the way your home space is intimate. Like, this is all you. And so the show really speaks to that, and it definitely evokes emotion. And one thing that, to answer your question, when it comes to places that trigger, there are always going to be different places in our homes that are going to trigger us at different times, depending on what we've been through. I've worked with a client, I remember this one client, and she had been through domestic violence in her home and child loss and a lot of really delicate things. And we were going through the process of just energetically clearing her home. And at one point, we got to her walk-in closet, and I felt her get stuck at the entryway. And we discovered, she shared, is this where you used to hide? And she was like, yes. And so there are different places in our homes that will trigger us. Maybe we had to hide there. Maybe we had to cry there. Maybe somebody passed away there. Maybe we, we're avoiding ourselves. For instance, like the kitchen, there are people who, have so much clutter in their kitchen, and there's a lot of shame, and even like they don't own the space. And then when we dive deeper, yes, they're not nourishing themselves well. Maybe they have a connection with, an eating disorder or body dysmorphia. There's so many things. And so when everyone listening now, if you can think about the places in your home that give you the most sadness, the most grief, or that you avoid, you can always connect the dots to the parts of yourself and the parts of your life that you're also avoiding and that also need love and healing. And that's what's so beautiful about watching the show, is that you're able to make some of these connections between those places that need love and the places within you that also need extra love.
You're hearing Rebecca Quintana. She's the host and producer of the special Healing Through the Home. It's available on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, other smart TV sets and devices. And is with us for a few more minutes live from New York this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Sound out with you live also from the Big Apple. If you have a question or comment on our mini minutes with Rebecca, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Don't forget, next week, our final two episodes of 2021. On our Friday episode, we'll have the executive director of the New York City Media Lab, former cable network executive and entrepreneur, Steven Rosenbaum. And coming up on Monday's episode, we'll have our annual feature, Tomorrow Be Televised Remembers, where we take time to reflect and to celebrate the people in front of and behind the television camera who passed away the past 12 months. It's all coming up next Monday and Friday, 3:30 Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And on our first episode of 2022, on January 3rd, we will have the executive producer of NBC's American Ninja Warrior, Brian Richardson, and one of the contestants for the upcoming season. His name is Anthony Trucks. He's a former National Football League player. That'll be with us on among the guests on our first episode of 2022. That's January 3rd, a Monday, 3:30 Pacific. Join us for it. I think you'll really be excited about what you can hear. Given the fact, Rebecca, that Vizio is now creating TV channels and Roku is creating TV series and interactive TV apps, and Samsung may be doing the same, and Amazon has Amazon Prime Video and so forth. Are any of the smart TV and device makers coming to you and saying, hey, Rebecca, I love what you did with this special. Turn it into a series.
You know, not just yet, but that's something that is definitely in the works and something that we're connecting the stars on, and it's going to be exciting to see where this show lands going forward. So let's see. There's a lot of really beautiful meetings and things that are coming my way and the show's way. And again, it'll be really exciting to see. I've been trusting in the flow of things and wanting to be in the right place. And that's part of the reason why I've taken it upon myself to produce and to create, because to a degree, it gives me a level of control, creative control and creative vision control. And for me to see these things, you know, the show come to fruition. And so now it'll be interesting to see with whom I partner with going forward. And, you know, it's going to be a great day for everyone.
Yeah. In the event that Healing Through the Home does not become a TV series, what's your backup game plan for 2022? What kind of shows do you want to produce? And do you want to become a series entrepreneur? Sort of in the manner of Shonda Rhimes or Ava DuVernay or Ryan Murphy or Greg Berlanti, et cetera?
Yeah. Well, I am very certain that the messages that I share in my TV show is TV show now and TV shows going forward, that they will be picked up. My work and my medicine is something that no one else is doing, and it's so needed and vital at this time. So it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. And I'm very clear on that. Like I'm just very clear on that. And so there's never been a better time for us to heal our homes, for us to get rid of clutter, for us to make the spiritual connection between our home space and our life. And it's a matter of when. It really is.
Healing Through the Home. It's an original special, and you can find it on Roku and smart TV sets and devices all over the place. And if you want more details about the program and about Rebecca and what she's up to in her future TV adventures, here's where you go online. Healing Through the Home, that's all one phrase, healingthroughthehome.com, and Rebecca's own website, RebeccaQuintana.com. It's RebeccaQuintana.com, and you can find out about not only this special, and if it does become a series down the road, but also what else Rebecca is dealing with in the world of television. Rebecca Quintana, thank you again for joining me here in New York. Congratulations on having this special run on smart TV sets and devices all over. And from all of us to all of you, have a wonderful holiday season. And no matter what, a sensational 2022 ahead.
Thank you so much, Simon, for having me. And thank you to all the viewers for being here.
It is a pleasure. Take care. Enjoy the rest of the week and the weekend. And Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.
Rebecca Quintana joining me here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And now it's time for a regular feature that we do called The Show to Know, where we highlight a program that you might not know about. We think it's worth watching. And the reason why you might not know about it is because it's not well marketed, promoted, or publicized. It comes on late, or it falls on the radar screen of critics and journalists. Well, over the last 15 years, a number of organizations have come together to help veterans who have dealt with the aftermath of 9/11, the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, et cetera, et cetera. There's the Wounded Warrior Project. There's Tunnel for Towers. And then there's a project called Helping the Hand. It's been around for quite a while. And over the last couple of years, it has actually offered veterans in 23 states more than 150 available homes that they get awarded free of charge that they remodeled for their benefit and their family's benefit. Well, just recently, the founder of Bass Pro Shops, Johnny Morris, has issued a 100 homes challenge to fund the next 100 homes that this organization, Helping a Hero, will build. In order to raise the money, this coming Monday night, a number of television networks, including RFD-TV, One American Network, and the Cowboy Channel, available on cable, on multicast, or on smart TV sets and devices, will be running a special called the Helping a Hand Telethon. And the whole idea of it is to raise the money for these 100 homes to get built and to serve veterans and their families. It's being put together with the help of its co-host, Lee Greenwood, and former Food Network personality, Paula Deen. And they've got some wonderful performers coming your way for it, Crystal Gayle, Debbie Boone, the Oak Ridge Boys, the frontman, John Connolly, Tim Gatlin, the Gatlin Brothers, Home Free, Daryl Worley, and T. Graham Brown and Sam Moore with a wonderful finale that includes Jamie Frick, Lee Bryce, Michael Ray, Tim Rushlow, and Daryl Worley. It's a one-hour special, and again, it will run this coming Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, Eastern and Pacific time, on RFD-TV, the Cowboy Channel, and One America Network. We also understand that other networks, as well as individual smart TV sets and devices, they also carry the special on Monday night, and that on New Year's Day, a number of other networks, including Heartland Network, was available on multicast and a low of the country. That's either on the digital signal of a broadcast station or on a local cable channel, will also be running the special. So Kim and Lee Greenwood, by the way, couple in life, and will be executive producing the program. And again, that will be on Monday night. That's December 27th, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. And of course, check your local listings for where all of those networks are available in your area, either on cable, multicast, or through smart TV sets and devices. If you want more information about the program, or if you want to make a donation in advance, here's where you go online, helpingahero.org. That's helpingahero.org. You'll be very glad you did, and you will be supporting veterans who have given their lives and much more, and souls, so for our country during times of war and in times of peace, too. Once again, Helping a Hero, special with Lee Greenwood and Paula Deen hosting, many country music stars and future stars involved. It'll be running this Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, on the Cowboy Channel, RFD-TV, and One American Network, with Heartland and other networks running it sometime on New Year's Day. We'll keep you posted. And we'll also find out how much they raise as time goes on. Now, is there a TV show you like that deserves some attention like the Helping a Hero special? Well, we'd like to hear about it. And if we do, we will credit you with the suggestion. You will get the credit. So we need to know about it. So if you have an idea for a future show to know, you get us a contact. Reach me at simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. You also find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn as well. And again, if we use your suggestion on the air, you will get the credit. No questions asked. So let us know. Be in communication. And all the very best. This is Tomorrow Be Televised. We are the program about TV's current and future. In case you've just come aboard, we've been here for over 14 years, the last 12 or so on Blog Talk Radio, and lately Speaker and TuneIn Radio as well. We are a simulcast. And we'd always love to hear from you. So if you have questions or comments for our guests or questions or comments afterward about our programs, our topics, well, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. You also find me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. No matter how you respond, we do respond within 24 hours because what you say matters all the time, now more than ever. When we come back, Fox is getting ready to launch its first scripted series of the new year, not far after the new year begins. It's on January 3rd. It's called The Cleaning Lady, and you will hear from the two key people behind the show, creator executive producer Miranda Kwok and showrunner Melissa Cotter. They both join me next after we pause near the bottom of the hour for web identification. You'll see the best internet radio on the planet through www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tuner.com, together reaching over 65 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, BTR is your home every weekday for Kings in the Morning. Check out their pre-Christmas Eve special. That's tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, J. King and crew, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best of BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Well, welcome back to our final half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Abba, I'm with you live from New Haven, New York. If you have a question or comment for our remaining guests this half hour ahead, give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Believe it or not, it is a week and a half before a new year begins. And I promise you that this year is going to begin on a very big original scripted note. A lot of new original scripted programming are going to debut. And one of the first, and certainly the first for Fox, will be on January 3rd when The Cleaning Lady premieres after the season premiere of 9/11 Lone Star. The Cleaning Lady is a very unusual series, and the people that put it together make a very unusual production team. Joining us live in an internet radio exclusive from Los Angeles, I believe, the creator and executive producer of the program, formerly of the CW series, the long-running one, The 100, Miranda Kloc. Miranda, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us. So excited to be here.
And also joining us live is the executive producer and showrunner of your series. She's best known for being one of the key producers of the long-running and critically acclaimed Oprah Movie Network series with Ava DuVernay, Queen Sugar. It's a pleasure to welcome to this program, Melissa Carter. Melissa, happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you, Simon. How are you?
Very, very fine, thank you. Miranda, take us through what got The Cleaning Lady on the air through Fox.
Well, City Mitchell found the original Argentinian format. Warner Brothers optioned it for her, and they went out to writers to say, pitch a take. So I pitched a take. I really wanted to, I had the idea of a Southeast Asian woman at the center of the story, something that we've never seen on primetime television, and also really tell the story of an underdog, someone who's an undocumented immigrant who comes here from another country. She's a doctor in her own country, but she comes to the States for a bone marrow transplant for her son, and, the system fails her, the bone marrow donor backs out, and she's left with a choice. Either she can go home where there's no resources for her son, or she can stay and break the law and try to basically save her son. And so, it's a tough situation for her, but she's a character who manages to defy all the odds, all the struggles against her, and basically find her own path and find her own voice and make her own rules.
And Miranda, in the world of the underworld, organized crime, what is a cleaning lady? It's not a maid. Anybody who thinks this is like, oh, she's the Hazel or the Grindel or the kind of maids we saw on comedy series or drama series from the 1960s on, they may be in for a rude awakening.
Sorry, I'm missing Martin and a plane just flew by. No, this is not your ordinary maid. She is not an ordinary cleaning lady. But, one of the things that we wanted to highlight in this show is that no cleaning lady is an ordinary person. We all have done jobs that we didn't want to do. We've all been in circumstances we didn't want to be in. And this is putting kind of an unexpected hero at the forefront of the show. So she is a cleaning lady. She starts working for the mob, but she's also a mother. She is a doctor. She's many things. What we try to do is not, categorize people and stereotype people and instead have very, fleshed out, well-rounded, layered, multi-layered characters. So we try to do that with all our characters across the board, including our lovely cleaning ladies.
Mm-hmm. Melissa, given your great success with Ava DuVernay and crew on Queen Sugar, how did you decide to hook up with Miranda and make this show happen?
Well, one of the things I did learn from Ava working with her is that it's always important to know that TV provides a platform for you to say something, film and TV both. And it felt like this show was a Trojan horse. It had all the exciting elements of crime, events that would explosions, things that would keep you on the edge of your seat. And yet the characters were incredibly grounded. It had something to say. We do talk about undocumented workers. We talk about different political issues of who gets to be an American, who deserves to have the American dream, all kinds of things that have been going on in the media, but we really ground it in characters that you care about. So when I heard, when I sort of read what the Argentinian show was about and then read Miranda's pitch pages and we met, it just seemed like a show that could be entertaining and exciting, but also have something to say. And not in a preachy way, but just in a very relatable way where you fell in love with these characters and you went on the journey with them. You walked, you know, you walked a mile in their shoes. And when you create characters that people can empathize with and fall in love with and laugh with, they're no longer an other. They're no longer a person that's not relatable. And I feel like that's what really good television can do. It can entertain and also open up a worldview, open up a way of looking at characters that and people that maybe you didn't think of before, or you didn't imagine what their lives would be. They're just like a little news clip. Instead of being people that are always coming to this country, usually in sacrifice for their children or for a better life or for opportunity, and that it's not something that can just be summarized in a couple lines in a newspaper or something on the evening news.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
it's so shaping with...
Taking,
go ahead.
Taking marginalized voices, people are usually pushed in the shadows, people you usually, you know, don't notice, and put them at the forefront of the story and hopefully build compassion for them in that way and you know, highlight that, you know, we all have struggles that we're dealing with. We all have our hopes and dreams. We're all trying to do the best for our families. So that's, you know, those are some of the messages and sort of themes that we're, you know, putting forward in this show.
The Cleaning Lady is Fox's first original scripted series of this new year ahead, and it will be premiering on Monday, January 3rd at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, right after the season premiere of 9/11 Lone Star on your local Fox station. We've got the creator and executive producer, Miranda Clark, and we have showrunner and executive producer, Melissa Carter. They're both with us live from Los Angeles this half hour. On Tomorrow will be televised. Happy Year Aboard, too, on our special Christmas week, midweek edition, second of our three Christmas week 2021 triple header programs. Tom Abbo with you live from New York, 45 degrees at the top of the hour. You have a question or comment for our guest. Don't be shy. Make that phone go, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. That's Simon Apple 04 by name. And if you came in late at the top of this hour, we will, for those of you that missed it, we'll have a classic trivia question contest coming your way. Five prizes in play if you got the correct answer. So we'll have that for you before we wrap up at the top of the hour. Miranda, how did you see the lead character in this, the cleaning lady herself? Is she more hero than anti-hero, more anti-hero than hero? How does the way you shaped her differ from the original Argentine format?
She's definitely more of a hero rather than an anti-hero, even though she gets into crime. She's not choosing it for the sake of crime. She's choosing to save her family. She's making hard choices, choices she doesn't want to make, to save her son. And so, you know, hopefully anyone can put themselves in her shoes and root for her, because she's an underdog, but she's really trying to do the best. When I set up to develop this, you know, I'd always wanted to do like a female Breaking Bad, but As I dug into the character and we dug into the character and Elodie Young came on board, you know, the character definitely shapes differently. And we realized that this isn't a person who is breaking bad for the sake of power or money or any of those things. You know, she's really getting into it for a different purpose.
Mm-hmm. Melissa, the lead character is played by Elodie Young. She's someone who broke out a number of years ago when she was in the Netflix Marvel series Daredevil. This is her first big super role leading or headlining a television series. What's it been like for you and Miranda to work with her?
Elodie is amazing. I've really grown close to her and the rest of the cast. I basically stationed myself in Albuquerque for the entire shoot. So I wanted to work really closely and be there if they wanted line changes or had a question about a scene or anything. So we really worked closely together on a day-to-day basis. She's just amazing because she is fully immersed in her character. She does, and all of our cast is like this. She did her own research, her own way of approaching this character, and she has a very strong voice. And I think what's interesting about this role is that she is, in our mind, she really is kind of a real superhero. She's someone who's balancing, you know, it, from her country, she was a surgeon, and she brings that gravitas and that agency into her world as a cleaning woman. And she stands up for people who don't have a voice, and she looks out for the underdog. She's a bit of a Robin Hood, where she tries to right wrong when she sees them. So for us, and she also uses her cleaning lady position as sort of a cloak of invisibility. So she's this fantastic character that Elodie was able to pull all of these other roles that she did as basically action films, superhero roles, but in a real grounded character. And Elodie just, she's fantastic. She just works tirelessly. She was in so much of the show. After the pilot, she came up to me and said, I'm not going to be working these kind of hours when we go to series, right? Like, well, in the beginning, you will be, as we try to branch out and introduce new characters and get into their lives. And then as we got rolling, you know, she just took it on like a champ. So she's amazing.
Miranda and Melissa, I think we have a call. We're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tamar Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Go ahead. You're on the air. Go ahead. Okay. We'll see if that person redials, whatever. And so we'll get her on the line. Miranda, Melissa just said that the show was filmed in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where Breaking Back was filmed. Was it a little eerie to be in a place where a landmark show like Breaking Bad was produced?
Oh, absolutely. And we had, you know, a lot of the cast and crew, you know, who were also based in Albuquerque, who also worked on the show. So that was really special for us as well. But the show definitely does veer off. It's, you know, there's not a lot that makes the show similar. You know, there are certain themes, but they're very, very different stories with very different characters. So it is a unique project in itself as well.
Mm-hmm. Melissa, when you have a diverse cast and a diverse team of executive producers, which both of you are part of, and you have a diverse crew, from what I understand, what kind of environment does that breed in making a new series like this?
I think what it breeds is authenticity, because when we go to tell stories, when we're breaking stories in the room, let's just take our writer's room, we have Asian American writers, we have a Filipino American writer, we have a gay Latinx writer. So it provides all these different points of view so that when you're creating stories, it's not the traditional writer's room of, say, 10 years ago where it's mostly white middle-aged men. You know, we're expanding beyond, and the story requires that because all the characters are from different places. So we wanted to make sure Armin Morales is Mexican-American, so we wanted to hire a Mexican-American writer, not just a writer that was from Colombia or another country. We really wanted someone who came from Mexico, from a border town in Mexico, like Armin. So when you're putting together a group of writers, you want them to have an authentic voice that represents or at least have some of the same stories and experiences as the characters you're creating. Because as you do a series, the characters really grow. We had certain characters that started off one way in the pilot or in the pitch pages that really grew once we started expanding the stories and working with writers and actors from those places. Elodie, for instance, the role was originally conceptualized for a Filipino writer, but when we found Elodie, we really leaned into her Cambodian roots. And then when we cast Aiden Canto, we really firmly made him Mexican-American and took a little bit of Aiden's biography and mixed it in with the character. Same thing with his wife, Nadia. Nadia's Argentinian, so we made the character Argentinian. So we just really tried to take the talent pool that we have and really reach and make it as authentic and specific as possible.
Mm-hmm. Miranda, what was it like for you to go from writing and producing The 100, long-running series about a dystopian world with more of an ensemble feel with all the teenagers and 20-somethings involved in that cast and the plot lines, to a series where it's more main character-centric and it's contemporary, it's a real world with real people dealing in it?
Well, basically, you know, people are people in whatever circumstances they are in. So, you know, whether you're in a dystopian world trying to survive, you know, The 100 was, what I loved about The 100, it was a show about hard choices. And there's a lot of, you know, what do you do when you're stuck between a rock and a hard place? And you find a third way. What is that third way? And then that gets you in more trouble. So there's a lot of fun aspects of that show that are, you know, in everyday life, even though it is a post-apocalyptic show. And so with The Cleaning Lady, yes, you know, even though a lot of the stories do center around Tony, you know, all our characters are struggling. All of them are facing challenges. And so in that regard, you just go from a real character-centric point of view. And so in some ways, you know, the storytelling is the same in that regard, is that, you know, it comes from character first. What would they do? How would they feel in this circumstance? So that's kind of, you know, that's how we like to tell our stories the best.
Fox's first original scripted series of this coming year, 2022, The Cleaning Lady premieres this coming Monday night, January 3rd. That's 9 p.m. Pacific time, right for the season premiere of 9/11 Lone Star. You are hearing the creator and executive producer, Miranda Kwok, and executive producer and showrunner, Melissa Carter. They're both with us live from L.A. this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Time to have one with you live from New York. You have a question or comment, mini-mids with both of our guests. Make that call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And remember, coming up tomorrow, our third of our triple header episodes this week, we hope to have the people from UKW Media, which launched two urban-oriented filming services on smart TV sets and smart devices at the top of the week. And we'll definitely have a takeaway of the week, and we'll see what happens to our classic trivia question as well. And stay tuned. Before we leave you today, in case you missed in the last hour, our classic trivia question segment, if you get the answer and you get it in first, you win 5 great prizes. For both of you, it says something that in a year, 2022, where we are expecting a lot of major original new series on the scripted side this year, and a lot in January, that Fox has enough trust with you to bring you out first. What do you think about that?
It's a real honor, and when we pitched the series to Fox, we had support and energy. Sort of the wind was in our sails right from the beginning. They have been so supportive. They've really pushed us to tell real grounded stories in this exciting format. And I mean, Miranda can talk to this. It's just the support from them has been amazing. So it is an honor, though, that they're starting the new year with our show first, that they really put some ad dollars behind it. The ads are playing during the NFL, the World Series, Miss Universe, like it's all over the place. Big billboards. There's a billboard, I believe, in Times Square. So it feels great to be supported like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. I feel very grateful and honored as well. And as Melissa said, Fox was extremely supportive right from the get-go. They recognized that there is a greater appetite and audience for more diverse voices and more diverse perspectives and stories. And I think that's why they were so excited about this show right from the get-go. And, you know, it was pitched as a Southeast Asian lead, And they also recognized that that's something that has never been done on primetime television, and they were excited about that. And they just felt like the show was so timely and important. And they really want to put these marginalized voices at the forefront of their network, which is fantastic. It is a real great honor.
All right, let's see if we have that caller now. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? You are on the air. Okay, apparently not on, so we apologize for that. To wrap things up for both of you, you can make the argument that this has been a breakthrough year for diversity on television in so many ways, both in front of and behind the camera. One of those ways is that we are seeing more shows produced by African Americans, Latinos, Asian Americans, Native Americans. We are seeing more people of color get program development deals, whether it's with Fox, whether it's with Netflix, whether it's with Amazon, Warner Brothers, other studios and so forth. And we're also seeing a lot of new talent come in off the bat and not only create and produce new series, but also get into the gatekeeper arena, where people of color are now gatekeeping shows, whether it's at Netflix or NBC Universal or Fox or CW or whatever. For both of you, where do you think we're going to go with diversity next year?
I hope, my prediction is that it's just going to keep proliferating. I feel like there it has been an explosion. The gates have opened, the floodgates have opened wide. And I think that Netflix and Hulu and Apple have sort of shown that you need to create a lot of different content in order to satisfy the needs, the viewing needs of an audience out there. You can't just make – it used to be you had – I grew up three channels. There were ABC, CBS, NBC, and that's what everybody watched, and PBS. That's all you had, and whatever was made, the audience had – had to tune in because there was no other choice. Now there's so much choice and it just needs to be a good show and telling stories that are with different backgrounds, diversities, about different things. It's just been an explosion of opportunity to sit down and watch something that's not the cookie cutter same stories told over and over again.
Yeah, I'm also very optimistic as well for diversity, and I think there, as I said, that there is a greater appetite and interest, and it's not just for people in Asian communities to watch a show with an Asian lead. I think there's audiences are more sophisticated now, and they want to learn, and they want to learn about people from different cultures and different backgrounds. That's why we travel the world. We want to know each other, and so I think it's wonderful that we have the opportunity to put something so culturally specific on television so we can open up the perspectives of other people, open minds, that way, and hopefully lend to more compassion towards each other.
Yeah, one of the fun things that we did with our show, is that we allowed the characters to speak in their native tongue so that when Armand and Nadia are having an argument, we let them go into Spanish. We would just encourage them, any of the lines that you feel like you would like to speak in Spanish, go ahead. We subtitle it sometimes we don't. Or characters speaking in Farsi or characters speaking in Tagalog. It just allows viewers to peek inside a world where people are the specificity of their own culture, their own language, food, all these references that people can, I think, identify or learn from. So we've really enjoyed embracing that.
Mm-hmm. And that's a great thing, by the way. One of the things that I think we came out of this year with is that, U.S. television viewers, they can handle languages. They can handle other languages and people in other languages and cultures. Just do it honestly, do it authentically, and just trust them. Trust the audience. They'll get it.
Yeah, exactly. And not dumb. That's the other great thing that, again, that the streamers and cable have shown us is that people are willing to, as Miranda said, try something different. It's just it's opened up, I think, everyone's worldview that there's different stories to tell, different things to learn in a really fresh and original way. So I'm glad that we can provide that on network TV, because I feel like network has been a little slow to join that that world market of entertainment. But now Fox is really putting their money and their power and their pride behind a show that does that.
The program is The Cleaning Lady. It is Fox's first original scripted series of 2022, and it's on Monday, January 3rd, 9 p.m. East Pacific time in your local Fox station after the season premiere of 9/11 Lone Star. Check the locals for where the Fox station in your area is. For more details online, fox.com. And chances are, by the way, if you missed the premiere, it will be played on Tubi, Fox's multi-channel bundle, available on smart TV sets and smart devices all over the place. Miranda Kwok, Melissa Carter, thank you both very, very much for coming on. Congratulations on getting this show on Fox. And Melissa, congratulations on the wonderful run you and Ava and everybody had with Queen Sugar on the Oprah Winfrey Network. A lot of great talent behind the camera came out of that program, and they're now starting to foster great in the world of television. To both of you, from all of us, have a wonderful holiday season and all the greatest in 2022.
Thank you, Simon. Happy
thank
holidays.
You so much, Simon.
You too, both of you, all
take
the greatest.
Care.
Take care. Melinda Kwok, Melissa Carter, joining us live from Los Angeles. One more time, our classic trivia question of the week. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win five great prizes, including the brand-new DVD of 20 Years of Christmas with the Tabernacle Choir. That's the Mormon Tabernacle Choir for us veterans. It was a special on PBS last Monday, BYU-TV last Thursday. And it's one of the five prizes you can win with this question getting the answer in first before anyone else does. On what ABC series, one-word title, did John Ritter play a cop? On what ABC series did John Ritter play a cop? It's a one-word title. If you're first with the correct answer, you win that DVD, plus the unofficial Hocus Pocus cookbook, Betty White, One of Remarkable Moments in Extraordinary Life by celebrated entertainment news reporter columnist Ray Richmond, was on this show last week. Also, the Loud House crayon set from Nickelodeon, and a Freak Brothers t-shirt from the popular new Tubi animated series. All you got to do is email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Put in your name and where you're emailing from, the mailing address, that is. If you don't get a winner by the end today, post the question tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter, Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWET. We told you at the start of the show that we had 2 hours that we're going to be very happy you tuned into, and I'm very happy you did. Thank you to all of our guests and all of you for tuning in. We are back with a third and final of our triple header episodes this Christmas week 2021 tomorrow at our regular time. We hope to have the people behind UKW Media, the pair of new urban-oriented programming services that premiered earlier this week on Roku and maybe other smart TV sets and devices. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up an episode you missed, including episodes from the start of the year, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, or check out our podcasts. They're available 24/7. On the iRadio Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Verbal, Reason, also at our website, tomorrowbetelevised.podsite.io. Love to hear what you thought about our episode today and what your thoughts were where TV is going in 2022. Email me, find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. However you communicate, we communicate back. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants. They are not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Website names provided by PodSite, the Internet's new podcast destination. For more, go to PodSite.io. Our web coordinator is guitarist Bacus. Tomorrow Be Televised was brought to you by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. For a free book or two, or to get a subscription, where for the first 3 months it's $5.95 a month, way off the regular price, audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. Back tomorrow, less than 24 hours from now, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, and all various podcast destinations. Whatever you're doing here now and then, please make it safe and great. If you haven't been vaccinated, see your doctor. Find out what your medical situation is, and then make your choice a great choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.